Welcome to the LYC Podcast. We are a youth community that believes in loving people and meeting them where they are. Our desire is that through this message, God's love for you is confirmed, your hope in Jesus is renewed, and your faith is awakened.
If you've got a Bible, go with me tonight. If you don't have a Bible, you are in a world of trouble because the screen's not working. But if you got a Bible, go to Romans chapter 12. I think we're going to read some passages from there. Honestly, I was kind of really counting on the screen. And so, no, I'll use it on my iPad. We're totally good. Romans chapter 12. We're starting this new series tonight that I'm going to be preaching for a couple weeks. I think I'm going to be preaching possibly all the way till we get to conference. Because I'm going to preach us. Look at your neighbor and say, he's going to preach us. Look at your other neighbor and say, all the way to conference. Because I want to kind of like stir us up and get us into this conference we're doing, which I'll talk about in a little bit, by kind of reminding us of some truths. And so you'll kind of have to go with me tonight. I give you permission to be on your phones, neighbor accountability. If your neighbor is like on social media, just like elbow them right in the nose, make it really count too. So you can take notes on your phone if you need to take notes on your phone. But we're starting this series tonight that we're calling Go. And the idea behind it is I want to remind you of the call of God that's actually on your life. So, like, I hear from a lot of people, especially seniors that are graduating, like, I just don't know, like, what should I do with my life? What am I called to do? And I hate to break it to you tonight. You are so special, but also you're not very special. Because all of us, we have the exact same calling on our life. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, that'd be a great verse to write down in your notes. It would have been on the screen, but it's not. Jesus says to all of us, he goes, go. Someone say, go. Go, go into all the world. Can anybody finish it for me? And do what? Make disciples of all nations. In other words, he goes, I want you to go into your home. I want you to go into your circle of friends. I want you to go into the sports teams you play on. I want you to go onto your school campus. I want you to graduate from high school and go onto your university campus. I want you to get out of university, and I want you to go to whatever job you landed. I want you to go and make it your whole goal in life to do everything you can do to see as many people come to know Jesus as possible. That is the call, my friends. No, God's called me to be a doctor. It's very possible that God will lead you to the medical field, but can I just say that's actually not your calling? God's called me to be a firefighter, potentially, but that's actually not your calling, though. The calling that's on your life is to wherever, someone say wherever, to wherever you go to occupy that space for the purpose of seeing people in that space come to know Jesus. Like, I was having lunch breakfast with someone today, and they're a doctor, actually. They are a doctor in an emergency room, and I said, what is it that drew you to medicine? He said, I remember when I was 8 years old, I broke my ankle really bad, and I sat in a waiting room, like, forever. It was the most miserable experience of my life. And at 8 years old, I remember thinking, I never want anyone to go through this. He said, and so when I gave my life to Jesus and ended up, like, what am I going to do for a career, I felt like, I think I'm going to be, like, a doctor. He said, and I felt like this stirring to go, I really want to be in medicine because if someone's at a hospital, they're possibly experiencing what might be the worst day of their life. And I want to be in that space to tell people about Jesus and to give people hope. See, whatever career you have, wherever you go, whatever team you play on, like God's called you to in that place, someone say that place, to in that place, do whatever you can to reach people. But here's what I know. Let's just be honest tonight. And I got some rhetorical questions to validate the statement that I'm about to make. Let's just be real. If we're honest, for the most part, we don't do that. How dare you? You don't know me, Brandon. All right, cool. A couple of rhetorical questions just for your consideration. What is the thing that you are most passionate about right now? What's the thing that consumes you? What's the thing that's consuming all of your, like, mental energy? What's the thing you're thinking about, you're taught? Like, what are you passionate about? What are you stirred about? Because in a lot of my conversations, do you know what I know about myself and about a lot of people that I know? Even though we love Jesus, what we are passionate about, this person right here. I'll talk about this in a second because it's a part of my life right now. But I don't know why. Currently, you know what I'm kind of passionate about? I'm kind of passionate about cold plunge. Like getting in ice cold water for potential mental and physical. Like I'm into the cold plunge right now. Like we get passionate about stuff that we want to do. Second rhetorical question, just to kind of stir you a little bit. Are you regularly praying for your unsaved friends and family? Like just compare real quick. The amount of time that you've spent doing other things this week, social media, video games, whatever you've been doing, and just contrast that real quick. How much time have I been on my knees, so to speak, calling out to God, saying, God, there's only one way that my friend so-and-so is gonna know you, and that's if you move in their life. God, speak to them. God, change them. God, help them. God, empower me. How much time have you been spending praying lately? How much time are you calling out to God saying, God, save my school, save my campus, move in a mile. If you did it in the Bible, I know you can do it now. Third question, are you regularly sharing the good news with anyone? When's the last time you've looked for an open door and you've shared the good news of Jesus's love and his ability to save with anyone? You might be MVP and you might be like, no, for real, Brent, I'm passionate about souls. I'm praying every day for the lost and I share my faith 35 times today. Awesome. But for the most part, that's just not the truth. Here's the last one that I think really hits. In the last year, a year is a long time. In the last year, rhetorical, how many people have come to know Christ because of you? If it all ended today, Jesus came back, the trumpet sounded, Jesus here. How many people are forever in eternity because you shared your faith, because you prayed for them, because you were, how many people have been saved because of God working through you? I'm not saying you, but for a lot of Christians, it's like, I'm really passionate about trying to like make more money. And like, I really like want to get a car and stuff right now. And I pray a lot about getting a car and more money. I just in my mind a lot of like, oh God, help me. This person's so annoying. And I just try to mind my own business, honestly. And I don't think I've impacted, and here's kind of what I want you to think or gather tonight. I don't think it's because we're bad people. Look at your neighbor and go, you're not a bad person. You're not a bad person, bro. I don't think it's because anyone's like, oh man, you know what? I hate the world. I hate people. Sorry, God, I know it's not pretty good, but I hope no one comes to heaven, especially not this guy. Hey, public service announcement. No one shared the gospel with Bob. We're not for you, Bob. You're weird, man. Like, I don't think you're a bad person. And I don't think anyone's like, nah, man. I'm just like, I'm not. I don't think that's what it is. Here's what I think it is. I think there's just some things that you don't know. And I'd like to take the next however long we spend, and I would like to give you three thoughts tonight that maybe you just didn't know this. And I really do believe this, Dusty, when you were sharing up here after worship, it really struck me that God really is here. Well, I don't really feel God. Well, the Bible goes, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. The Bible says that he who has ears to hear will hear. So maybe the reason you don't sense God when you're in church is because you got a cold heart that won't lean in and you won't open your ears. But I'm telling you, if you will open your ears, God wants to speak to you tonight. And I really believe this. This sounds absolutely ridiculous. But I think God could forever, you ever seen The Sandlot before? Forever. I think God could forever change your life tonight. I think tonight could actually be, eyes, ears, I think tonight could be a pivotal night that you look back and you go, June the 12th, 7:39 to whenever we end. That was a night that my life change forever. Because I want to start unpacking for you over the next number of weeks, actually the key to the most joy-filled, fulfilling life you can possibly live. And that is a life saying, God, use me. God, use my life for a big purpose. So I'm going to give you three thoughts tonight. And you can write down the title of the sermon if you're taking notes. It simply is this, I didn't know that. I just didn't know that. I'm having you engage a lot because the room feels a little sleepy. And so just FYI, it's kind of what I'm trying to like engage you a little bit. So for the last time possibly, look at your other neighbor, the one you've been ignoring, and just say, I didn't know that. I didn't. Have you ever, by show of hands tonight, have you ever not known something? Has someone ever told you something and you legitimately just didn't know? I don't know if you drive yet. I got so many speeding tickets when I first got my license, and almost all of them, I'm like, oh, officer, I didn't know. Because legitimately, I wasn't paying attention to the speed. I just didn't know. I told you I kind of got like into the cold punch thing. I'm 4 days in, people, 4 days in. This morning was the coldest I've gotten it so far. And I questioned whether or not my body was okay. I'm like, I think I'm dying right now. I might have gone too far. It wasn't too far. But pre-cold plunge, I wanted to get into it, but I didn't want to spend the money to buy it. It's like it's $100 for the thing, and Jenny found like a marketplace, Facebook, something. So we didn't spend $100. But I'm like, I don't want to spend that kind of money. I'll do something else instead. And our neighborhood pool had just opened. And here's what I knew. Our neighborhood pool is cold. Like, I won't swim it's cold in there. And it had been raining a ton. And so it might not be cold plunge material, but it's cold though. And my body needs some acclimation. And so I went like one morning, like 6 a.m., and I used my key fob. And my key fob didn't work. I'm like, oh man, HOA, bro. Like, what are they even doing? So I go and I hop the fence. I won't show you because that'd be weird if I took my shirt off in church. But like, I have like some cuts right here on my belly because when I was hopping over the fence, the chain link kind of got me real good. It's like my battle scars, you know? And so I hop the fence. I'm in the pool. I think I did like 10 minutes. It was really cold for me. I was talking to a friend who actually does like legit cold plunge. He's like, oh man, like that's nothing. But it was something to me. And so I go to leave and I'm like, oh, the door's locked. I got to hop back over this fence and scar myself again. And so I did my pool plunge. And I'm on my way home. I'm walking home on my phone and I Facebook messaged our HOA guy for our neighbor. His name's Kyle. Got a big red beard. Like, yo, Kyle, my pool fob didn't work. I know this is a volunteer position that you are in for our HOA, but do better soon. But I'm kidding. But I'm like, hey, Kyle, man, thank you so much for everything you do. We love you so much. Hey, my fob's not working. Could you look into that for me? Kyle's actually really awesome. And so I get a message like 4 p.m. Hey, Brandon, I checked in on this. Your fob is working. It's just that our pool does not open until 8 a.m. And I checked our cameras and I watched you fall over the fence, get in the pool, and jump back over the fence. And I noticed the timestamp was 6 a.m. Please don't do that again. It's like, Kyle, I'm so sorry, Kyle. I didn't know. I just didn't know. I wasn't trying to break the rules. Legitimately, I thought, oh man, our fob doesn't work. I had no idea the pool didn't open till a certain time. And again, I just think there's some things when it comes to doing what God's asked us to do, that it's not that we just don't know. And I'm gonna give you three thoughts. Number one, write this down in your notes if you got notes tonight. If not, just lean into this. Number one is I want you to know tonight that you have something to give. You have something to give. Why is it that you and I, why is it that we often think so lowly of ourselves? Have you noticed that a lot of people, maybe you're included, that we have self-esteem issues sometimes? Have you noticed this? Like, I know that I stand up in front of people with a microphone a lot and I try to be funny. It usually doesn't work. Usually making fun of myself is what makes people laugh, which makes me more insecure. But like we all have self-esteem issues. I was talking on the phone yesterday with someone who I like legitimately really hurt them. And I didn't even know, they called me, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. And they go, you know, you're saying sorry, but I just don't hear the emotion in your voice. It doesn't seem like this is really a big deal to you. And I'm like, no, seriously, I am so sorry. And I said, and even the fact that you would call, I didn't know that I had that much value to you. I didn't do that on purpose. I said, I didn't even think you liked me. I didn't even think we were friends. I didn't know. And I'm getting off the phone and I go, Brandon, why do you often have low self-esteem? Why do you often think that you're not a big deal? Why do you often think that you don't carry a lot of influence? Why do you often think that you don't have anything to give? But I think it's kind of all of us, right? That we often don't think about ourselves like, man, I got a lot to give. And here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 3-8, New Living Translation. Paul writes this, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than you really are, but be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part have a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Listen to this. We are many parts, one body. We all belong to each other. Notice that he goes, we all belong to each other. So like not like in like a weird like possessive way, but he goes, listen, all of us, we're one body. Like my fingers belong to my toes. My ears belong to my hands. Like my body, it's one body in many parts. He goes, I want you to not think of yourself too highly, too lowly. I want you to have an accurate view of yourself that you are a member. You're a part of a body. And we all, in a way, belong to each other because God has placed us together and he's made us different parts of this body. And he goes on to say this, in his grace, God has given us, listen to this, different gifts for doing different things. So if God's giving you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God's given you. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. If it's to give generously, then give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, then take responsibility. And if you have a gift for showing kindness, then do it gladly. In other words, Paul writes and Paul goes, everyone's got something to give. Everyone has something to give. Can I ask you tonight, what do you have to give? What is it that God has given you? Maybe it's a talent or a skill. Like maybe you have a specific talent or a skill. You're incredibly creative. Maybe you're a musician. Maybe you have the voice of an angel. Maybe you have like a skill in something. It's like, I got skills. God has literally, he's given me the ability to do stuff that not everybody can do. My daughter, Brooklyn, she's really into gymnastics. And we actually had Dusty and Heather and their family over on Saturday night, I think it was. And we all ended up on the floor in my living room because Brooklyn was showing us how she could do these back bends. It's a bridge. Yeah, she's a bridge. And I would do it, but I'd break my back again. And it's like her body literally was like, it's like this. And we're trying to do it and our bodies are like this. It's like, I can't bend my back. I thought I got so high. I'm like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Was it super high? And everyone's like, no, you barely off the ground, man. She's got some skills not everybody has. Do you have talents? What about this? Maybe you have a passion or a concern. Have you ever realized that you care about things other people don't care about? You realize that? You ever realize that you have concern for things that other people just don't have concern? You ever realize that you love certain people that other people just don't love? Like maybe God's put something in you. And it's not so much that you're unique or different or that you're the only one who cares. Maybe you're the one who's called to that thing. Maybe no one else notices that because that's something God's given you to do something with. Oh, I just don't feel like the church, man. They just don't really care about people's birthdays. Well, shoot, man, if you care about birthdays so much, maybe like part of what God's put in you is to start being like the official birthday card writer. And making sure that people feel really valued on their birthday because that matters to you. And maybe it doesn't just matter to you because you're really into birthdays. Maybe stuff like that matters to you because God's put it in you to get it through you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're just like incredibly like intelligent. You got wisdom. And you're just like, I just know how things work. Like maybe God has given you that in part to be a part of the body. See, we all have to realize tonight, we're holding something in our hands. We have something to give. And I might step on certain people's toes, but let me just tell you what I believe from the Bible, the proper order of things is. And don't get mad at me until I'm done, okay? But I think that all of us, we're called to reach people. and to change our world in kind of three ways. I think it's about building his church. I think it's about reaching the people in our sphere of influence and doing whatever we can to advance God's kingdom. Jesus, when he left, did he hand his mission to an individual? Did he hand his mission even when he was on earth to one by one? No, it was two by two. He goes, two by two, man, you guys go. Two by two, you guys go. He's leaving earth and he goes, guys, none of you are me, but together you represent me. I'm giving you this mission as a group. Go into your world. Jesus said to Peter, he goes, the church, on this truth and reality, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my body. I'm going to build this community of believers that they're all different members of the body, and together they represent, they are an image bearer of me. And the church is what he said the gates of hell will not prevail against. I met people and they're like, no, man, I don't do church. I do street evangelism. I love that. I think that's great. As long as you don't forget that you're not the church. Like you're a part of the body. And God, Paul, he writes, he goes, hey, the context of community here, we're all carrying something. And we're all supposed to be bringing what we carry to the body so his body can be built. And then we go out from there and we reach the people in our community, the people in our world, the people in our, and then we do what we can to keep the kingdom or the things moving forward. Like, why is missions important? I don't live in Bolivia. Why do I care? Because part of what we're called to do is to keep pushing and moving what God's doing on the earth with what we have forward. And all of us, we've got something to give. Look at your neighbor and go, you got something to give. So I want you to know tonight, you got something to give. And here's what else I want you to know. Because I just don't think that we know this or we think about this. I want you to know tonight that you will be held accountable. You will be held accountable. Caitlin, could I ask you to come up real quick? Caitlin, before church, I gave you something. I put something in your hand. What did you do with that before church?
Before church? There was a Bible verse that said that the Lord's thoughts towards us are more than the grains of sand. And so when we were praying together in our groups, I was just speaking out over the girls.
I love it. Caitlin, God's got a big plan for you. Even as you're leading worship tonight, his hand is on you. And I think that his purpose for you in building his church is bigger than you can see. And God's going to use you in a mighty way. Yeah. Kendall and Isabel, could you come real quick? You can go back to you, yeah. So you didn't know I was going to do this. I gave you something before church. What did I give you before church? I gave you a dollar. Dollar bill, y'all. $2. Who's the favorite? What'd you do with it?
I gave it to Joanna.
I love it. I love it. What'd you do with it? I love it. I love it. I love it. So rest of the summer, anything you guys want from the store, it's completely free no matter what it is. Yeah, would you guys give them a big hand? Sit down. Yeah. So you can sit down. So but before church, I went and I gave Caitlin this Bible verse. And I said, Caitlin, here's this truth. But don't just put it in your pocket. Use it to encourage someone. We were about to pray, and I kindled Isabel. I said, hey, here's some money. You can keep it if you want. But use it, though. Just go be a blessing to someone. Can I tell you that the Bible says in a really, really, matter of fact, let's just read the scripture. Romans chapter 14, verse 11 through 12. Let's look at the scripture real quick. Romans 14, 11 through 12. Listen to what it says. The Apostle Paul writes, and he says, where's verse 11? He says, for the scriptures say, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will declare allegiance to God. Yes, each of you will give a personal account to God. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Let's see how fast I can get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. The Apostle Paul writes this. I love this scripture so much. He says this, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. Uh-oh. We're all going to stand before Christ. But I thought Jesus took care of all of our sins on the cross. He did, but hold on. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged. We will receive whatever we deserve for the good or the evil we have done in this earthly body. You know what Paul's talking about? He doesn't mean that you're going to stand before Jesus and be judged for your sins. No, Jesus took care of that. He's not going, all right, June 12th, 3:45 p.m. I heard what you said to your mom. Check. May 19th. Like, that doesn't happen. But we will all stand before Jesus. And do you know what we will be judged for? I gave you some gifts. I put some things in your hands. I gave you some talents. I gave you some abilities. I gave you some stuff, and I didn't give it to you just so you could win your high school talent show. I didn't give it to you just so that you could make a lot of money. I didn't give it to you so you could sit on it. I gave it to you so you could use it. So Paul writes, Paul goes, remember Romans 12, we read it. He goes, whatever you have, use it. Bro, are you good at encouraging? Oh, encourage people. Dude, are you kind? Then be super kind to people. Bro, you're a leader? Dude, man up, take responsibility. And like he goes, whatever you got, use it. And the New Testament indicates that we will stand before Jesus one day and we will actually be held accountable. Just like Caitlin and Kim here and go, hey, I gave you something. What'd you do with that? Just like Kendall and Isabel Kim, hey, I put some stuff in your hands. What'd you do with that? We will stand before God in a real way. You know what he's not going to do? He's not going to go, oh man, I'm so proud of you. You made $1 billion. God, I love that. You didn't tithe, but you made it though. He's not going to be like, oh bro, you had so many followers. Like I thought my son Jesus had a ton of followers on earth, but dude, in 6 months you blew up on TikTok. Oh, I should have chosen you to call. You're amazing. No, he's going to go, hey, all that stuff doesn't mean a whole lot to me. Like all that stuff, like it's like this. It's like a birthday candle. It's gone. Everything that we are living for, it doesn't matter eternally. And he goes, so like eternally though, like what did you do with that? How did you use who you are and what I gave you to build my church, to reach the people that are all around you? To love people and encourage people and what did you use? There's a passage in the New Testament in the Gospels. Jesus gives an example and he goes, you know what the kingdom's like? The kingdom is like a master who's got three servants. He goes, all right, here's 10, here's 5, here's 1 to the invisible one. Now I'm leaving. You guys do work. And the master comes back and the master goes, oh my gosh, I'm so proud of all of you. Nope. He goes, I'm back. Let me see what you did with it. And the one who goes, I doubled it. Well done, good and faithful servant. Here's more. The next one, I doubled. Well done, good and faithful. Here's more. So the last one goes, I buried it, man. I was nervous. All right, let me have it. And he takes it away and gives it to this one and goes, great, because this one, he who has more will be given. To he who's faithful, in the least, he'll be faithful much. Like, we got ours, we'll be held accountable. And here's the real thing. Not only is there a reward in heaven, the Bible says, we won't read it, but if you're a note taker, 2 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, eternal rewards in heaven. But not only that, can I tell you that the way that we steward what God's given us on earth for his purposes, God blesses us. I heard someone say one time, they said, my big prayer is not that God would give me $1 million. I'm like, shoot, man, that's my prayer. They said, no, this here's my prayer. My prayer is that God would be able to trust me with $1 million. See, because God can get stuff to people that he can get through people. And I just think that God, he honors those, he rewards those who are using, even here on earth, what he's given them. I don't know if I can do that. Here's the third thought I want to give you. God actually will help you. God will help you. Why is it that we think sometimes that what God's asked us to do, we have to do all by ourselves? You ever felt like that before? You ever felt like you're all alone in it? Like you hear a sermon like this and you're like, oh man. Like, God, I have 3 zits right now. Like it's not a good time, man. Like my face is breaking out and I don't know. Like, but I feel guilty though. I guess I'm gonna be accountable one day. Okay. All right. Be brave, be strong. I'm going to go tell people about Jesus. Not like, we're not alone. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 4, remember Matthew 28, Jesus said to do what? To go, right? So in essence, like it's like me looking at Ian and be like, Ian, bro, go into all the world. And it's like, all right. But then Acts chapter 1, verse 4, look at what he says. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave. You said to go though. I'm confused. Is this a trick question, Jesus? Did you have too much of whatever you're eating right now? Like what? You said go, but now you're saying to not go. Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. What gift? Chapter 1, verse 8 says this, New Living Translation, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Just for your consideration. How did Peter go from the guy? Do you remember what Peter did 3 times? How did Peter go from this guy right here? Oh, I don't know. Don't know him. What? Bleep, bleep. Because he was like cussing a lot in the scripture. I don't know what he was saying. I don't know what the Christian cuss words were. It was like, bleepity bleep, bleep. I don't know the guy. How did he go from denying Jesus 3 times to like a junior high middle school girl? No, don't put me on your TikTok. I don't know the guy. Like, how did he go from that to the guy a couple chapters later in Acts chapter 4 that he's going, listen, I don't care what you're going to do. I cannot deny him. Great, you're going to beat me, imprison me. Like, where did the boldness come from? Jesus goes, guys, like, I want you to go and use what I've given you to build my church and reach people and be about like my business, but don't go until you've been filled with power from my Spirit. You know why? Because you can't do it alone. Do you know why you feel inadequate? Because you are apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. Do you know why you feel like you can't do it? Because you can't do it unless he's helping you. I heard a pastor say this. He said, it is impossible to represent a supernatural God in merely our natural ability. It's impossible. It's impossible to represent a supernatural God in your natural ability. It's impossible to speak words that have weight to them. It's impossible to know the right thing to say at the right time in the right way that pierces someone to the soul apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no one comes to know me except the Spirit of God is working in them. It's impossible to argue. This is why I don't argue with people. Pastor Jenny, this is one of the parts in our marriage we're still asking God to help us because she gets mad at me because I just don't want to argue. We got in a conversation and we're talking to these people that do not believe in Jesus and they're arguing all this stuff. And on the table, she's like, stabbed me with a fork. And we leave the restaurant. She's like, Jesus would be embarrassed of you tonight. And I'm like, whoa, calm. Ah. She's like, you were not defending the faith. I'm like, the bread was really good. I don't know what to tell you. But like, because I'm not going to argue with you. Because I'm not winning an argument. I'm not winning an argument with someone who, like, I'm not doing that. Jesus goes, I only do and say what God tells me to do and say. And so I'm not getting baited into conversations and baited into, no, I'm not doing that. Because there's no way that we can argue people into salvation. No, it has to be the Holy Spirit working in them. It has to be us being empowered by God and led by God and using what God has given us as he leads us in the right time with the right words, saying it the right way that pierces people to the heart. How do all these people come in Acts chapter 2? They're like, bro, these guys are drunk right now. And Peter goes, I don't know. It's 10 a.m. We're not drunk. We're filled with the Spirit of God. And Peter begins to preach the gospel. All these people that are going, these losers right here. How do they go from being a mocking, questioning crowd to Peter's preaching the gospel? And the Bible goes that day, 3,000 people at one time are cut to the heart and go, oh, God. What must we do to be saved? The power of the Holy Spirit. His words had some weight to them. His words had some, as a Pentecostal, we'd say some anointing on them. You can't represent a supernatural God, your natural ability. You can't just take your good ideas. All right, God, I have a good idea for, it better be a God idea. God better be leading you. God better be with you. He goes, guys, think about this for a second. I promise you, we're coming to a close. Kimberly, why don't you help me come to a close with the piano so we can get out of here? But that was very aggressive stomping, Kimberly. It felt passive aggressive. I lost my train of thought. God, help me. Jesus says to these guys, he goes, you better wait. You better wait. That's what I was going to say. Think about this. These guys had 3 years. 3 years. Not being in church. 3 years living with, walking with, being with Jesus. 3 years. Personal mentorship, discipleship, and coaching. They sat there at his feet and listened to every sermon. That was a banger. Fire. And then afterwards, they went home with them. And they got to sit on the couch and go, hey, fire sermon today. But I didn't really understand it. Explain it to me. And he would lean in, he would teach them. They saw every miracle. They watched him walk on water. It's a ghost. No, it's him. He's walking on the, Peter walks on water. He goes, come out to me. They threw their hands held happy meals that were multiplying. Like literally in their hands, a couple loaves and a couple fish fed thousands of people. Miracle in their hands. They watched blind people get their sight. They watched dead people come back to life. They were there for it all. If anyone's qualified, it's these dudes. They didn't go to Bible college. They spent 3 years with Jesus, listening to every sermon, getting the download of everything he had to say, and watching and living in the miracles. And still, what did he say? Oh, boys, you can't do it, man. Please, don't you leave this upper room until you've been filled with the Spirit of God. Oh, no, but hey, whoa, hold on. Hey, come back here. Sit down, bro. I like go, but not yet, though. Because you can't go until you've been endued with power from on high. Because it's the power of my Spirit that's going to enable you and empower you to be my witnesses. So again, I don't think we're bad people. I don't think anyone's like, nah, man, I hate Bob. I just think that for a lot of us, we just don't realize. We didn't know. I'm holding something. I have something. I'm kind of a big deal. I have a lot to give. I have a lot to offer. And I didn't know one day I'm going to stand before God. And I'm going to be accountable for how I used everything he gave me to reach lost, hurting, and broken people. I didn't know that he actually would help me. He would empower me and fill me. I didn't know that. Can I tell you tonight, in case you didn't know, you have something to give. God, you're so valuable. Like, I don't even know all of you very, very well, but you're so valuable. You have so much in you. There's so much. You're not ordinary. You're not normal. You got so much on you. And by the way, the enemy is trying to do everything he can to get you to put that in your pocket. I'm not sharing that. I'm not using that. I'm not really living. You got something to give. One day you're going to stand before Jesus. This is not about me going, come on. This is about me and God. I'm going to stand before God one day. And I'm going to have to give an account for how I stewarded my life before him. I'm not alone. You're not. He's with you. And he will fill you and empower you. So here's how I want to close tonight. I want to give you an opportunity. Matt, what? Screens don't work. I was going to ask you to throw it on the screen. I'm going to ask you three questions tonight, and I'm going to pray for you. Wes, would you come up here for a second and get ready to help us close with this song? I'm going to ask you three questions tonight. Number one, write these in your phone. Write them in your notes. Think about them. They're intended for you to go home. But number one, what do you have to give? Would you take time and would you pray and would you ask God, God, what have you given me to give? What skill, what talent, what ability, what passion, what care, what concern?
We hope you've been inspired by this word. To help awaken your faith on a regular basis, subscribe now so you can be alerted when we have a new message. Thank you so much for listening.